happen.
Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Warsh. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the deafen to my geffen, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Continue to impress me, Justin. I just want everybody to know how many different things you have to do to start the show. I just sit here and watch you rock out. But it's the point now where you're like driving a car. You know when you first drive a car that you're like, ah, how can I steer the wheel and press the brake and look in the mirrors at the same time? And the seat is uncomfortable. And what does the handbrake do? And now you're just like, doo-doo-doo-doo. Well, that's how you are with all. You have like four or five things you're interacting with simultaneously.
Now you know why whenever we have to restart or sometimes I forget to hit record.
You just check to see if it was recording. Yeah.
It's like a teenager learning to drive a stick, which nobody gets that reference anymore.
They still do. They still have sticks. That's still a thing.
I'm sure it's still a thing, but I just
millennials like, weigh in. Do you know how to drive a stick?
The reason I giggled as we were starting the show is because you told me that we should be watching this, and then I opened up our Discord,
which,
by the way, if you'd like to listen live, if you're listening to this as a podcast and you would like to listen to it live,
hang up now.
MixLR.com/Gamerland. Go there now. Hit pause. Go there now, and then you'll get an alert whenever we go live, which is usually around 8 p.m. Pacific on Monday nights. And then you could chat. Some of us heard
daylight savings time now.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. The same Florida.
The people listening in the live stream or whatever earlier heard me talking about my love of Jean-Claude Van Johnson, the Amazon series. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about how somebody posted in the Discord, which you could get to by bit.ly/Gamerland.
Okay. It's bit.ly, correct?
Yes, I feel like I'm doing the lingo by saying bit.ly.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I think if I said bit.ly, it's like calling it the pot. Am I right?
Is that not what we're supposed to say?
I don't know.
Okay.
By the way, strong chance.
Uh-oh.
Very strong chance if I get all my work done tomorrow. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah.
I may or may not be going to a dispensary.
Wow.
Just to peruse. Just to
look around.
Just see what's up.
You have so many cans open right now. Which one are you going to drink from next? I have so many things I want to know.
Like science in the bedroom.
There's so many things. You have so many windows opening your browser. Are you going to talk about how you're going to do pot? How you're going to... I can't even... What's underneath this browser? You were talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme and Discord.
So bit.ly/Gamerland Discord if you want to join the conversation. And that's where we pluck people when we play It's Just the Stump Game that we play. And
I'm going to rename it. It's now called Pluck You.
But I'll call it Stump.
Who's the real winner?
So while I was doing this, I got to see the gif of the shot-for-shot remake of the opening of Full House done in the Grand Theft Auto world.
Which is pretty sweet.
That was, and that's what made me giggle.
Did you ever play the Grand Theft Auto, the newest one?
Yes.
The newest one.
Yes.
Really? When? Why? How?
When it came out. I finished the story mode and then moved on. But see, here's the thing. I feel like that is the game that should have been my Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, mm-hmm, like I'll touch a sport. I like the Madden. I'll stay with the Madden. And then I go to Call of Duty if I want to shoot and blow some stuff up.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of first-person shooting.
Yeah.
If Grand Theft Auto was a little bit closer to SOCOM back in the day, I feel like it would have.
What would it be missing?
If they make a new one, maybe I'll just go back and get the old one. I don't know what I'll do.
I've been thinking about picking it up. What is missing from Grand Theft Auto that would make it more SOCOM-ish?
It seems it's a little too arcadey, which I know.
That's an interesting statement.
You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean, but I'm surprised. Having never really played a Grand Theft Auto, I get the bug every now and then as I see great things like that GIF and go, well, this is like an open world in my city. Why do I not own this game?
I don't know how much role playing there is involved in the online version of it, but the little bits that I've seen and participated in, I think that Grand Theft Auto is a severely underrated online game.
Which is saying a lot because it's vastly popular.
Right, but the fact that it's not the thing
that
everybody does,
Is that because of the violence and the sex, you think?
Yeah, but I don't think that's as big on the online. Like, in the online version, you just have gangs and, like, there's fun missions where you'll like we're robbers. We're going to try and rob this bank, and then everybody else is cops. And there's that kind of fun stuff.
Now, when you say Grand Theft Auto Online, that is a playable section of the console game,
separate, much like Call of Duty, where you could play the campaign, and then separate you could play online.
Well, it was the online one that has the flying DeLoreans in it. So, you are not aware of the flying DeLoreans?
No, I feel like we've discussed.
There is a doomsday scenario in Grand Theft Auto Online that has flying DeLoreans in it, and some sort of sci-fi thing that's going on. This epic mission. It's like a chapter episode that's been released. I assumed that it was for PC because I'm not in that world. But what you're educating me on is that it is actually available in the console, in which case we have to hit stop right now and go to GameStop and purchase. Thanks for playing.
If I could find a way to loop that that dial tone sound, trust me, we would go inside.
Download it.
Just because.
Download it to both our consoles.
Now, here's the thing. We talked about it before we hit record, is that, you know, we tease a lot, especially our hardcore listeners, people who run the Discord and all of that stuff, and they're
the brilliant
loading up your Twitch followers, which can be found at twitch.tv/thekevin.
Yeah, Vince crushed it by putting on that subreddit for Sly Cooper.
Did you hit your 500?
Very close. So today we were around 430, and so I posted something on my social media chapters. And Vince is determined that that will be the final push to get us over 500. We actually might hit it during the show. So I'll keep a monitor on it and see. You know, like in 500 million friends with social network, where they're watching to see if we hit 5 million. Let's see if
25. That's what you're talking about. The Rent song.
No, I was talking about the Facebook movie.
Seasons of Love.
We don't talk about that movie anymore.
How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay?
See, now that's a musical.
How we gonna pay?
That went away. Yeah. Like, that was the thing. And then, like, you blinked your eyes and that sensation.
And it
wasn't even, people didn't even have disdain for it. Like, people love Titanic and now hate Titanic because it got so overplayed and the music from it. But now you do that and people are like, what do I know that from? That's from something, right?
It's a pretty good movie, too. The other thing we talked about.
You were talking about Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
It's a great Amazon series, if you're not familiar, although I find it hard to believe. Chime in the chat room if you've heard of Jean-Claude Van Johnson and have seen it. Like, if you're like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I've checked it out, not that into it, because I'm curious to see if it will be victim to the fact that maybe there's not enough people on the Fire TV situation that are in their like late 30s, early 40s who will appreciate like Time Cop and those kinds
Amazon's got the money to where they can lay down the investment in the way that Yahoo TV did not have, right? They picked up Community and were like, this is our ticket to fame. And then they were like, oh, crap, this is expensive. We don't know what we're doing. Why did we do this? Whereas Amazon's like, we have the audience. We have the channel. We will put something here. And even if it doesn't pick up money for 5 years, where are they going to find it?
Yeah.
They're not going to find it on NBC and the local markets on reruns. They're going to find it on Amazon.
Well, I make
it's like 100% profit for them.
I make commercials for the radio all day. And there's one of our big morning shows, The Woody Show, which is syndicated everywhere, which I think a lot of you guys would actually enjoy.
Anywhere radios are available.
Pretty
much. The Woody Show.
They're getting to be like kind of like almost, not quite, but they're close to getting like what Howard Stern was.
And wow.
They're super nice people. Like really, really, really cool people.
Although how does it work in the 21st century? Where are they being syndicated to?
I know they're in Portland, St. Louis. I think they're in Albuquerque now.
And what does that mean, that a local station just doesn't have a morning show? That they port this in instead?
No, and I've learned through my time in radio that this is kind of an iHeart creation. That not syndication, obviously, iHeart has done is become such a corporate juggernaut, and then they just kind of shift out content, and there's a lot of people in radio who feel like iHeart is...
Because who was iHeart?
Single-handedly destroying local... Clear Channel.
It is Clear Channel.
Single-handedly destroying local radio is what
And Clear Channel is...
Now iHeart?
No, who do they own? They're one of the networks, one of the TV networks.
None.
No, that's not right. A Clear Channel was also CBS. Was also Viacom at some point.
Well, then we're broken off now because we're not
under an
umbrella.
I'm going to look that up. Go on.
Because if we were, then somebody would pay off our $28 billion in debt we're trying to restructure. I'm going to be fine, guys. It's going to be fine.
You're fine because you don't work at the corporate level. Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
It's a great
big
show.
Fan.
I think if you have to be from that era of like Cyborg and all of his old movies to really like love it. I deafened you. I deafened you.
I'll do it.
Ah! Thank you.
Did I deafen them?
You deafened me.
You're welcome.
And I've been looking in the chat room. It says, is it just me or is Justin's level kind of quiet?
Oh, that's what it is.
How about now? Is that better, guys?
How about now?
I regret everything.
I regret everything.
I don't have to do the bits. You have the bits.
I have them all.
I regret everything.
You can, and then she says, "Touch the Muppet Baby." Yeah, it's right. All one.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
You could just take our shows at this point, edit together everything I've said, and just punch it into your keypad over there.
Oh boy!
And then just talk to that. You don't even need me anymore.
But anyway, it's a great show. If you have a lot of people in the chat room are saying they haven't heard of it, I say you check it out. But oh my god, I'm going to kill Discord. I'm going to chop it up into little tiny parts. Is that your phone?
No,
in?
Oh, it is okay. Not.
That would
not
be really
in.
Funny if it was.
I'm on mute. I'm not that good at punking you.
I've deafened it. I have deafened it.
Maybe people are tagging you.
I want to sound like such an old person right
you,
now.
You do.
And I want to say, Ryan, fix this.
Yeah. Come on. The VCR is blinking. Also, yeah. I still have a VCR.
That's so weird. Random listener says that I'm still, unless they're messing with me. Says I'm still quiet and the drops. Kevin is the loudest and clearest. Well, that's all that matters.
Thank you, random listener.
Yeah, the people know the... Oh, boy. We'll flirt with our listeners. Right-click the server. I can't read this and figure this out and host a show. Yeah. I'm very good.
Forget
good.
Discord. Move on. Tell us more
point
about the
is,
thing.
Point is, with the Jean-Claude Van Johnson, it's a good show. Check it out. I would recommend you watch at least Cyborg... Cyborg, I think, is a good Jean-Claude Van Johnson movie.
Yeah.
And by good, I mean you had to be of the right age.
You mean Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? Just to be clear.
Did I say Johnson?
You did.
The premise of the show is that he, how to say this, he is no longer, he's Jean-Claude Van Damme's real name is Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Okay.
Only Jean-Claude Van Johnson lives under the name Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Got it.
It's a secret identity.
Got it. So,
and he goes out and makes movies. But when he's not making movies, he's doing espionage-level things that are very similar to what you would see in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
It's like the inverse of the Disney movie Bolt, where he thought he was a superhero and really is just an actor.
Right.
But instead, it's an actor.
Everybody thinks he's just an actor, but he's actually a superhero. And I want to say it's like episode 4 or 5, which seems to be when every Amazon series hits its sweet spot.
Oh, really?
But anyway, there's a great moment where he does like a Nutty Professor character where they find a twin and they're going to use the twin to have glasses and messed up hair. And talk like this!
And it's just
funny to watch Jean-Claude Van Damme do a sketch character.
Yeah.
And he does it brilliantly. He's great.
Yeah,
he's
no
great.
Doubt. He's
I'm
been,
telling
he's been performing
you,
for
it's
a long
awesome. Time. If we're going to still talk about shows Justin likes, we're going to talk about Sneaky Pete.
Okay.
If you haven't seen that on Amazon, that's a great show. The season 2 just started, so go back and binge season 1 and then enjoy season 2.
What is Sneaky Pete?
Sneaky Pete is a series created by Bryan Cranston and another guy that I can't remember at this moment. And it's basically the premise of it is that there's a guy who is in prison.
Yeah.
And he's got like a bunkmate.
Okay.
And this bunkmate is always telling about how great his family life was and how everybody's so lovely and all this stuff. And he learns everything and he hates this guy, but he gets out before them, before this other guy. And so he has this idea because he said he's been estranged all these years because when he was a kid is when his grandma and everybody was all super close and then everybody had a falling out. So he goes to con the family and impersonates him. So his name's not even really Pete. So that's why they call it Sneaky Pete.
And this is brilliant because there's a ticking time bomb of whenever that inmate is actually going to get out. And so
I'm not going to ruin anything, but here's just how good the show is.
Yeah.
Doesn't even get addressed in season 1.
I believe it. You leave that off the table.
Yeah.
You just leave it there as a...
But there is so much going on, you forget that that's even something that could happen. It's
that's
a great show.
That's cool.
Great. I don't know why I'm being so animated for a podcast. The people can't see me gesticulating.
They can hear it.
They feel it.
They can hear the air move through.
They feel it.
Speaking
Not
of amazing
really, I'm
shows,
quiet, evidently.
We can now discuss Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yes.
If you don't like Star Trek, I don't care. Because Star Trek Discovery... is a pretty great show.
Oh, really?
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it.
I found it to be a little more horror than my taste. There were some really graphic
moments.
They
really took advantage of the fact that we're on the internet and not on network. There was some cursing.
And I noticed, which is fine, cursing, you know, whatever. But they, so halfway through the season, we shift into the Mirror Universe, which in the Star Trek lore is this uncanny parallel dimension in which all good people are bad, all bad people are good. It sparks from the original series in which you see Spock with a beard, and that's how you know that he's evil.
People with beards are evil.
Always. And so almost all the series have had a Mirror Universe episode. But for this series, being kind of grounded in an anthology, which was the original concept of what the showrunner was pitching, was that each season would be a different era in Star Trek's history. So this season one would have taken place pre-Kirk and Spock. Mm-hmm. Season two would take place like 20 years later. Like, and every Star Trek.
So they're going to jump in this?
No, they're not. They've scratched that idea. But the idea is that you'd see Discovery A, and then and then the next generation would be the following season, and then technology and everything would progress. They scratched that, but the desire to tell really long story arcs is still visible. And this season is marked by two very clear segments that happen. And it's funny, the ratings. There's an episode with Rainn Wilson in it where he plays Mudd, who is an original series character, is the highest rated episode of the series. Like, fans loved it. It was great. It's this really cool time looping episode. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Then there's this episode where they go
that
to
that was the highest rated.
That's the highest one with Rainn Wilson.
Because that wasn't his first appearance.
No, that's his second appearance. Yeah, and it's a great episode. So then later they do this they go to this dark universe, the Mirror Universe, and it is the lowest rated episode of the series. And the reason why, if you watch it, you know, now you can binge it because they're all available. When they originally doing it was available once a week. But it definitely comes in as like a left hook because it feels like you're building up to a season finale that kind of comes early, like eight episodes in, and then this kind of unnatural repilot happens where you're like, so it's not just we're not just being on Voyager where we're stuck on the other side of the galaxy, we're in another dimension, like ho-hum. So I understand why it was so poorly rated. However, they stick to it, and it's not like a two-episode arc or a three-episode arc. It's six episodes that we sit in this other dimension, and you explore it to its fullest, and the impact of that when they come back is really well felt. There are two surprises in the show. That one I felt I should have seen coming. The other, I don't know how I missed it. Or one I don't know who would have seen it coming. But when it happens, it's like, they knew what they were doing from nearly frame one of the show.
Really?
Of where they were. Have you finished the series?
Yeah. So my fear was, and I think I know what you're talking about, but there was like when they jumped to the alternate universe, for me, I felt like, because the way you're describing like the arc of everything and the ratings even, I was like, I wonder if they thought this was going to be like 13 episodes and then we were going to be done.
I wondered that if somewhere in the thing it got mixed up and they ordered an extra two, because we were definitely done with the Mirror Universe. And then there's another epilogue. Right. But it does fit the arc of the season.
See, I felt like I felt like to go to that Mirror Universe, it seemed like, oh, crap, it seemed like filler. I don't know why, but that was the impression that I got.
It did feel that way initially.
And so I was like, oh, man. And then and this is where I felt like I was getting too maybe I'm getting too practical about it. But then when they're we're talking so convoluted, I hope this isn't boring. But point is, there's a turn in there where I felt like all of a sudden this just became an excuse to shift some casting around. Like we're going to mix the pot up and this is how we're going to do it. And then we're going to go back because now we've had testing and it's out there and we like it because this is, I think that they knew
they couldn't have seeded what they did. Cause it definitely has rewatchability based on what they've done.
I had not thought to go back and do that and kind of,
I think that once they revealed what they revealed, the second big reveal at the end of the season, it was clear that they had been planning. You're smirking. You're smiling.
I'm just smiling because I'm just imagining if I'm listening to this and if I have not seen it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I guess it would make me want to, but it's funny that we're having a conversation about nothing, but about everything at the same time.
I don't know.
That's why I smirked.
I mean, because I feel like it is unwatched enough to where we do you a favor in not giving you specifics.
Absolutely. Like
you're probably not watching it because screw you, CBS, for putting this on this CBS All Access, which I've said before is a complete lie. To call it All Access implies that every series that you put on this network would be all available. And that's not true. So my wife was like, oh, look, there's some show, some old sitcom in which one of the gals that she loves from another show guested on it for a series of episodes. We look through. Those episodes are missing from the season. Yeah, because who knows why? They couldn't get the contract for it. They didn't have it available. But how do you sit this on the shelf next to Netflix that's like, not only is everything available the moment it's out there, but we have complete runs and you could do whatever you want. And then you have this version. It feels like Blockbuster's trying to scramble at Netflix being like, well, we'll be the retail space with a slightly different thing. I think their days are numbered, and no matter what they try to do, Star Trek cannot sustain it. Because the moment I had watched all the episodes, I canceled that subscription. Yes. You're not going to get my money for nothing.
Right. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. I still have my subscription because I like the idea of watching the CBS shows that I like without commercials.
But
I think we do exactly what we do. It's always been this way, but I think it's more efficient. And what I'm trying to say is that where the consumer dictates the market to such a concentrated extent now. Now they have up to the minute. Like if the Sunday night they release that final episode, if Monday morning 30% of their subscribers dip off, then they know that Star Trek is what brought them there.
Yeah, that's
true. You know
what
I mean? Mm-hmm, if they see no fall off, but saw the big jump, then they know.
I think they're doing is they're like,
we need a big license, something
with
a huge following
that was always clear.
That's going to suck everybody in.
It just
and
overt.
They go from there. Because now they have this show where I think they're trying to get
But they didn't do that with Sheldon, right? Which is their other big property, Big Bang and Star Trek, right?
Because that's too big.
Yeah, exactly.
Sheldon is too big, and that's Chuck Lorre, who I think owns like 90% of their content. And so that's why it makes sense that you're like, well, that's you can't because you're gonna make a killing in the ratings off that show. But then they have another show called The Good Fight. Unless I'm misunderstanding, but I think that's another only on CBS.
There are a handful of originals, and that makes no sense to me. So, and that's almost like going back to the UPN days where they launched. So, 96 UPN, the United Paramount Network, launched a series of shows, and they were this new network that was a combination of Warner and
Enterprise launched on that, didn't it?
Voyager launched on that. So they canceled in Next Generation to launch Voyager on this new network with a handful of other random nonsensical sitcoms. But what doesn't make sense to me then and now is that if you know that the audience, you know what I want to watch? More science fiction.
Yeah.
If you had other things like that, I don't care about your CBS procedurals. If they had loaded it up with other stuff from the Sci-Fi Network or something, so Sci-Fi is launching their own version of this with a new Stargate series that's going to be a prequel to the Stargate movie that takes place in the 1920s when they unearthed the Stargate. I'm on board. I'm annoyed that they're going to try to make me pay $10 a month or whatever it is in order to watch this.
But they do have all the old episodes of Star Trek.
CBS. But so does Netflix right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? So do I, because I bought them on Blu-ray and DVD. You got nothing.
Oh, boy.
Let's take a break.
All right. We'll be back after these messages.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
That show used to come on Wednesday nights in our local market up in the Bay Area on KBHK, Channel 44, at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. And it ended at 9. I always remember sitting watching the credits because they didn't have little teasers at the end of the episodes like we do, like a little extra minute to make you watch the show. And it was always like, my friends, I'll see you next week, friends.
I know. I don't remember ever having a thing where, like even growing up, where it's like, this is a show I know what time it comes on. I'm going to be sitting
not even
there
in syndication, because then they ran this show in syndication from 6 to 7 on that same network, and that was where I was sitting every day.
There was a very, very brief time. The closest I ever came to that, but I can't remember what time it is now, but the closest I came to that, and I was much older, was the Spider-Man and X-Men animated series on Saturday mornings. Yeah. Those were the things that I would jet home from my paper route to get home in order to do to see
and that's
those
about that. That's about the same era that I was watching this.
Because I feel like they came on at like 8:30, like early enough where you had to be up, but not 10 where it was like... Because I had to get my paper route done at 7:30, and then I would ride my bike to get donuts sometimes. And I always knew I had to jet home so I didn't miss the Spider-Man. And it's so funny because now my kids literally have no idea what it's like to miss a show.
Right. Or
we're watching ALF.
Or have
we
any idea.
All of Third Rock from the Sun. We've seen all of the episodes.
You saw ALF, which I love. But they also have no concept of Saturday morning cartoons. Mm-mm. Because that was like the prime time. Nice. I thought that nothing beats Saturday morning cartoons. And when they were over, it was like... It's all downhill from here.
You know what has to change, though? What I love is that, so when I was a kid, even when I first, before I got the paper out and had money to buy my own TV and pay for my own cable kind of a thing, I would go, I'd get up and I'd go out there and I would start to watch cartoons. And then my dad eventually would come back after him and my mom finished fooling around. Saturday morning was always their time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would come out and he'd put on the new Yankee Workshop or This Old House.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, but Dad, I'm watching cartoons. He goes, I was like, you need a TV. Like,
right. And so what did you do?
He made me get a paper out. And one of the first things I bought was a stereo, which was so silly, but I think it's because it was cheap.
Oh.
The very next thing I bought was a 27-inch CRT, like color TV. And then
do you have that still?
No.
No.
No, no, no. No, it was, but I kept it well into when we bought the house in Modesto.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And but he didn't charge me for cable, but he ran cable into my room.
Mm.
And then for early on in the cable, I couldn't change. I had to watch whatever they were watching.
Oh, funny, because you just had some pirated splitter.
But then I had a video game thing, and then I think he figured out some way or something changed with the cable, because I remember then there was a time where I could change the channel.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And I never thought of using an antenna, because I don't think it got a good enough reception.
Probably not where you were.
Yeah.
I still have the television that we had when I was a kid. That my dad said, you know, you can't turn it up past 30. It was the same TV that I realized when you put magnets on the screen.
Oh, I did that.
It destroys the screen.
The original, like, 1970s TV my dad had, he gave me cow magnets to play with.
Yeah.
And one time I just walked by the TV and it warped the image. Like,
what?
And I just sat there.
Yeah.
And this was the problem with being an only child. You don't have an informant to tell on you. And I just bent the picture. And then I was like, that's weird. And then I turned it off and it had a little green spot left there.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's weird too. And then when my dad saw it, he goes, what? And he just, he was so angry.
There's no coming back from that either. Yeah.
No. So, but anyway, today, what I still get to have is my kids will be watching Ninjago series on Netflix.
Yeah, which is a fun show.
And then when I'm done making breakfast and sit down to eat my breakfast, I go and pick up the remote. And then I change it, and they still get to, do the thing. And every once in a while, I have the idea I do it on my phone, which is even better, because he feels like he's got the power of the remote, and then I change it on my phone.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's good to humiliate your kids.
But the thing is that your kids have access to another TV if they absolutely demanded it, right? If there's something they needed to go watch.
They could go watch it on a tablet. But I feel like if they started getting into, Natalie has made it very clear, there will be no TVs in their bedrooms.
Mm.
Which I think is going to get interesting when they become teenagers.
Yeah, for sure.
I've kind of said, if you could save up the money, go for it.
Mm.
And then, but I will still control when you get to watch it.
Yeah,
but
that seems fair.
You can guess.
You own the fuse box, so.
Yeah, exactly. So you can pay for your own power and move out. I control you.
At age of 14. Hey, we should stump.
Oh, that's a good point by you. So let's see. Who are we going to find? We're going to go into our chat room here.
I like it when you choose. You choose interesting people.
We got AJ Assassin, Fade, Mahogany Vince, Matt View 72, Officer Gelatin, Ryan Bodash, and Snookums Gal.
Snookums we had last time.
Snookums Gal was the one. Or no, that was Doodle Noodle.
Oh,
she
you
was
might be
the
right.
One, Doodle Noodle was the one who was.
This is the moment when they don't want to play. They're like, up, and they bounce out.
I think I'm going to go Fade because they're new.
We haven't seen Fade before.
Or do I go Classic?
Mm.
All right. You know what? We'll go Fade and maybe I'll hang up on Fade. We'll see how it goes for good old
No
Fade
shade
here.
From Fade.
Here we go. Fade, are you there? Oh, I deafened it.
Undeafened.
All right. Now Fade should be there. Hello, Fade. Oh, this is going great.
Undeafen.
I undeafened it. Oh, I have to also go in the room.
Oh,
that helps if I go in the room. Here we go.
Undeafen.
All right, fake it. Yeah. Fade?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey!
No, all right, we found you.
She's like right next to my ear.
Yeah,
you
you're
hear
very
that?
Present, Fade.
You want me to move away?
No, come closer.
No, come closer.
Right. You have a decent voice.
Yeah, you
sound. Where are you in the world?
So dulcet.
I'm in Massachusetts.
Yeah, you are. Chesapeake, my.
Is Fade.
Saskatchewan.
Is that a put upon voice or is that your natural register?
No, this is my voice.
That's a sweet tone.
Who'd
you
come
have
up with a character to do this?
I just thought, like, you're like, hello.
If you were to do a character and could speak in any different voice, Fade, what voice would you speak in?
Do a character for us.
I don't know.
Oh, that's great. That's good. That's
you sound just like Fade.
Oh my gosh, have you ever met my friend Fade? It's uncanny. You sound like a slightly more confused version of Fade.
Fade, thanks for listening and joining in. Are you a first time listener with us? Have you been around for a while? Do you know what you're listening to right now?
Yeah, I know where I am. I've been listening for a long time, but never been on the show. So this is cool.
Glad to have you here.
Well, calm
great.
Down.
Yeah, be cool. Be cool, Fade. Have you been listening well enough to know how Stump works and what we're doing right now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. All right. You want to tell us? This is the first question. What happens in Stump?
Usually you ask a question and Justin gets it wrong.
Yeah.
And then someone has to agree whether or not Justin is right.
I like it, Fade.
I don't like Fade.
I like Fade a lot. I really like Fade.
I don't like that I thought I muted him and I didn't either.
There's so many buttons. I shouldn't have complimented you. I think I got into your head. So, yeah, Fade, we're talking about the generation of games because several episodes ago we wondered what generation of consoles we're in currently. And so we've been going through the generations and quizzing Justin on it. Right now, today, we're in the sixth generation of consoles. What's going to happen is I'm going to ask Justin a question. He's going to answer it because he knows everything.
I do.
Like Ben Stein times another smart person.
It's worth the Google.
And then, Fade, you simply have to agree or disagree. When you agree or disagree, we reward points accordingly. I need a pen for...
This is my car. I'm a millennial.
Give me this pen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You were doing drops.
I had one near you that you were...
Doing. No, it's good. Fade, do you understand the rules?
I do.
Do you understand there's nothing at stake? So please don't get uptight. Okay, here we go.
Oh, man.
Touch the Muppet, baby.
Justin.
Yeah.
The sixth generation of consoles, this era began on November 27th, 1998.
That's what I was going to say.
With the release in Japan of what console?
1998, it would have been... PlayStation 2.
The PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2. Fade, do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Disagree. Now, Fade, for bonus points, can you give me an alternative answer?
I'm gonna go with a no here.
The correct. You did not get that right. Justin was wrong, so you do get a point, Fade. The answer was the Dreamcast.
Oh!
The Dreamcast brought us into the sixth generation. It was joined by the PlayStation 2 in March of 2000 and the GameCube and Xbox in 2001, back
That's
when we
right.
used to say 2000.
Because the Dreamcast picked up much more steam because it That's used right. a Windows operating system.
But here's the deal. The Dreamcast was discontinued in 01, so yes. it was not on the shelves for very long. GameCube up until 07, Xbox to 09, but the PS2 was in production until 2013.
Oh, burn!
This was the end of us referring to systems as bits, like, oh, this is a 64-bit system or a 16-bit system, as both the Dreamcast and PS2 called themselves the 128-bit system very early in the release, like, oh, it's the 128-bit system. But the complexity of other components and Xbox didn't play that game, so that distinction went away, which is why we're not playing, you know, a 1,024-bit system today. But so, Justin.
Yep.
There were other consoles. I just listed kind of the main players, but there are other consoles that are released in these generations. This is recent enough history. Can you give us one of the off-brand, non-major players of the consoles in the sixth generation of consoles?
So not one of the ones you listed?
Not one of the ones I just said.
That would have been out in the same time?
The time period is from 1998 to roughly 2005 when the Xbox 360 came out, but somewhere in that decade.
Oh, 98 to 2005.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So not a Sega Dreamcast, yeah. Not a PlayStation 2, not a GameCube,
not
an Xbox.
And not a handheld system. We're going to do handhelds in a second.
Oh, dang it. That was going to
be Oh, that would have been really good.
I was
good.
So confident.
A console.
I was so confident.
Consoles are different than handhelds.
I understand that point that you made.
Nearly had tea everywhere. Fade, get a mop.
Let's see. Now, I know the answer to this one. This I'm absolutely 100%. I know that I'm wrong.
Okay.
I know that I'm wrong.
These could be mind games, Fade.
I get on here and I know when I'm right, but then there are times that I know that I'm wrong. This is one of those times where I know I am wrong.
Okay, hit us.
Because by definition, it is an off-brand.
Yeah.
So how would I know something that is an off-brand?
Because you're on a video game podcast.
Right.
All right. What's your answer?
So maybe I do know it.
Oh, goodness. You can't tell. There's so many mind games happening.
And it is the little-known console known as the Equinox.
The Equinox.
Now,
Equinox.
I'm telling you, Fade, I do not know this. Are you picking up what I'm putting down through this Discord?
Fade, do you agree or disagree with the Equinox?
You know, I'm going to have to go with the gut feeling here, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know this one, Fade. I don't know.
He
agrees with you. I'm sorry. No, there was no Equinox during the sixth generation of consoles.
That's why you play the game, bitch.
There was a Nuon, which was a hybrid DVD player and gaming system. There was the Atari Flashback, which is a plug-and-play version of their Atari 2600. There was the very popular V-Smile, which was made by VTech. They make a lot of educational stuff. And I don't even know how to pronounce this one. It was an X-A-V-I-X, so X-A-V-X.
Equinox, actually. Yeah.
Oh, is it the Equinox? Half points.
Is that SpongeBob controller you got for me at a Gart
Garage? Oh, yeah.
Show? Is that also falling into that generation?
That is not. Okay. Moving on to handhelds, this era actually saw not one but three Game Boys, other styles of, there was like the N-Gage and some other things. There was a Pocket Neo Geo, but this saw three eras of Game Boys, Justin, including the Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Advance SP, and the Micro. Oh, you thought you knew it. Question, though.
I mean, I know it, Fade.
Yeah. How many titles were released for the Game Boy Advance?
The Game Boy Advance was, that was the one that was kind of closer to the Vita.
Yeah, we had one.
Yeah.
We each had one. You and I used to sync them in the backseat of cars as we go to lunch, and we'd play F-Zero on them.
We may have to elevate this game of Stump that we play during the second segment of the show. and by that, I mean we may need to have a meeting of the sanctioning body and decide that the NFL has a competitions committee, right? And they make sure that it's competitive. And what I think we should do is there's a minimum amount of points that have to be scored so that people can't just disagree with me.
And this is a lot
but
of stipulations
here's what I'm
for
tell
someone
you.
That scored no points.
I'm going to tell you that's why I'm trying to make it competitive.
Got it. I see.
It's 9, Fade. Now listen to me, Fade.
Before, I'm sorry. You're saying the answer is 9?
9.
You're saying that on the Game Boy Advance, 9 titles were released.
9 times.
No. Nine games were released.
9 games.
9 games were released.
Now, Fade.
Okay.
I want you to understand something. Did you hear what Kevin just did? That's him trying to get into your head because he knows I have guessed absolutely correct.
Okay. Fade, here's how it works. Justin gets a 10% variance on any guess. So since he's guessed 9, that means anywhere between 8 and 10 games available on the Game Boy Advance because we round to the nearest actual game. Do you, Fade, agree or disagree there were between 8 and 10 games available on the Game Boy Advance?
I'm going to disagree here.
Disagree.
Oh, bad move. That's a bad move.
And would you like to offer an alternative answer?
9. It's 9.
I'm going to say 25.
25? What's wrong with you guys?
Because the Game Boy Advance didn't have a ton.
It had 1,494 titles.
Oh, no.
It was an extremely popular system.
No. Could you play pornos on this?
What is wrong? Why would I ask the question about a Game
because
Boy?
Because there were so little.
That had 10 titles on it. Get out of here.
Because there were so few. Here's the thing. I only play three
I'll
of them.
You on this one, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Fade.
So, but you have to understand.
What are you doing next Monday, Fade?
How dare you? In order for that console to be in your hands, that means that it was so widely accepted that there was an ecosystem that was behind
but
it.
But it was at a time when there were three Game Boys.
No.
The only reason I remember it is because you could play Super Nintendo games on that Game Boy Advance.
So all of those would count as games that were available.
No, they still had to be ported onto a little cartridge.
That's a game that's available on the Game Boy Advance.
But they would do that?
Yes, that counts.
But could you play the exact same cartridge from your Super Nintendo?
No, the point is that there were...
I understand it was a lot, but I don't understand why
that
you're angry at
it. Was 10 of them? All right.
I said 9.
Software-wise, this era was a real game changer. There were tons of classics that came out during this time period. But what game was considered by both Game Informer and Time Magazine to be the best of this generation? And we're talking the consoles, not the handhelds. In fact, this game was so popular, it was released in 2013 on iOS.
Really?
Best of this generation.
Best game of this generation.
According to Time Magazine, which doesn't really bother itself with talking much about games. So this was a big game.
Fade, I'm going to be honest with you. Up until this point, I have toyed with you like a cat and a squirrel. Because I don't prey upon you naturally, like a mouse. But I do find you occasionally lying limp in my backyard, and I play with you. You understand?
Really? Oh, man. Fade, I'm afraid for your safety, Fade. Thank you for using a fake
Pokemon.
Name.
It is Pokemon.
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 Was the biggest console game of that generation.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Fade.
No, the Pokemon, there's a video game as well. I'm not talking about, you're not playing the card game. I'm saying Pokemon.
Fade, do you agree or disagree?
No.
Disagree. And what is, do you have an alternative answer?
What was the year that it was released on iOS?
2013.
The same 2013? Year Pokemon Go came out, you dumbass.
Man, why you gotta roast me like that?
Because you deserve it, you stupid so much... son of a bitch. I am right.
Listen.
I don't want to hurt your feelings. Right. I just want you to be sorry that you exist.
You don't have an alternative answer. All right, sorry. You still get the point because Justin is incorrect. It's not Pokemon. It was Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Never heard of it.
You have never heard of Star Wars?
I have.
Fade, have you played Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Pokemon Go is 2015, wasn't it?
We really need screeners for this. Okay, last
screeners?
Question. Last question. This is worth, I don't know, 9 points.
Kevin, by the way, we've got an update.
Yeah. Oh!
We're breaking into the middle of the show to tell you that Kevin is only 7 people away from reaching 500
on
Twitch.
It could happen.
Seven people away. Back to you, Kevin.
Thanks, Ryan. Gotta keep that open. Oh, yeah, he's right. 7 away. All right, so last game. This era was the birth of cell shading in games. What critically acclaimed game was the first to make use of cell shading that is very near and dear to my heart? Justin.
Now, he's setting you up on this one, Fabe.
No, I'm setting you up on this one, Justin.
I know you're setting me up, but in turn, you're setting him up because everything I do dictates what Fade does, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He wants you to think that it's Sly Cooper, all right? But it's not. Because the other game that is near and dear to his heart was one of the first games that he was cast as the star in, not the first, but one of, and it is Jet Grind Radio, which also used cell shading.
Faye, do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to agree with Justin on this one.
Agree with Justin on this one. All right. You are... if we had a judge, I think they would say you were wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and say you are correct.
Yeah.
So good job. Because the title of the game was Jet Set Radio, not Jet Grind Radio.
The next one was Jet Grind.
The sequel was Jet Grind Radio Future. The first game
I thought it was Jet Set Future.
No, it's Jet Set Radio was the first game, and it was indeed the first game to use cell shading. Of course, Sly Cooper later was used.
I forgot. Did he disagree with me?
He agreed. So you both got
a bitch.
You both got 9 points. So he has 12 points. You have 9 points. So Fade is the winner.
Yeah.
Fade is haunting himself. Fade, your prize for winning.
I stepped on that.
is to ask us a question. You may make it a one of a personal nature. You may try to offer trivia to us. This is your show. Go.
Justin, ooh, what was your favorite part about Italy?
Oh, did you go to, you did go to Italy.
I did.
Did, when you saw your wife, right? When she was,
no,
on a cruise
ship?
No, I went
to Spain.
Oh.
All right, how was Spain?
I suddenly feel like fate is outside our door with an axe.
Fucking idiot.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you a quick story about Spain if you want, fate. That I met to. My wife at Barth. Are you mocking me?
No, he said that's Fade's genuine excitement.
It's genuine.
Yeah, I can tell.
Is that why you live this way, Fade? Is that is this you pretending to be Jim Brown, getting up slow after every hit? Like, you just live this this stoic life so that you can slip in sarcasm?
No, just say yes. No. Just let it go. Tell your story. Yes. We've got more things to do.
So I was in Barcelona, as the Spaniards say, and my wife's ship was at port there, and we had a delightful time. And then at the night, at the time, is when we were working at Webtoon, which is where Kevin worked when he was cast as Sly Cooper. And the lady of the boss, the wife of the boss, was a collector of Coca-Cola products.
That's right.
So I went to this area, and this is a Tuesday night, mind you. But it's also a time difference, so I was up in the middle of the night on a Tuesday waiting to catch my plane the next morning, and I go down to get this Coke, and the street is lined with prostitutes, because in Spain...
I don't think you'd do it there. I think
Spain.
Okay, all right.
Spain, the prostitutes, they are legal.
You came back with the Barcelona accent.
Prostitution is legal in Spain. And so so there was lots of catcalls at me, and then there was a young lady who said, hola, which is how the Spaniards say hello.
Hola.
Hola. So she said, hola, and I kept talking. She said, guten tag, which high school German taught me this hello in German.
Yeah.
And then she said, hey, and I turned around on the hey, and then she knew I spoke English.
Brilliant.
So she immediately started speaking English. She was like, hey, how are you doing? I said, I'm good. And then she was like, hey, do you want to go in the alley for a quick BJ?
Wow.
And I said, I'm sorry, what? She was just in the alley. And at the time, I was not married. My wife was already on a cruise ship, probably thousands of miles off the shoreline.
It's a fast cruise
and
ship.
And I immediately started sweating from my armpits. Yeah. And I said, I can't. And I pointed to my ring finger for a wedding band, but did not have one, and said, my wife is in the hotel room. I can't. She goes, she's not here. We go in the alley real quick. It's no big deal. And I was I said, she's pregnant and she's got a craving. So I got to get her a Coke.
All of this was fabrication.
All of it. I said, I got to get a Coke for her. Just head back. And she goes, and she just looked at me and got like a pouty lip or whatever. Kind of, she said, it's fine real quick. Just come on real quick.
Wow.
And this is what I said to her. I said, no, listen, I go, here's the thing. It's not you. You're very beautiful. It's me. I said those words verbatim.
Wow.
It's not you. You're very beautiful. It's me. I can't. And then she gave me a look of disgust and said, all right, and walked away. Like I was trying to break up with her. And so that right there, Fade, was my favorite part of Italy.
Fade, thanks for playing Stump. I sure hope you're over 18.
Well, yeah, how old are you,
Fade? I hope so, too.
Fade, can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 17.
Fade, forget that entire conversation. Forget it all.
Yeah.
Erase this from your iPhone. Oh, good job, Fade. All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, this is the other part, too, is I get to pluck him back. Oh, no, he already plucked him. Oh, no, he's right here. There we go. Pluck him back. There we go.
Oh, he's self-plucking.
all right, so we're going to take another break, come back and do Tales from Tyria.
Yes, and I have some Twitter updates for you as well.
Oh that's right. I was wondering about our gaming.
That's
our
right.
Tabletop gaming.
That's right. Yeah. From
Ooh,
last week.
Exciting.
Tales of Tyria and your answers after this.
All right.
Tales from Tyria!
with your host, Kevin Miller. Oh, I am going to black out
one of these times. I don't look at you. I can't tell.
It'll be great.
I stare at the board because I like hearing just the sound.
Oh, do you really? Yeah, that's good. Because I close my eyes most times.
It's highly enjoyable to me.
Where are all the parakeets from in your office now? What is happening?
You're fine. It's totally fine. Do you taste almond?
The pretend hut. as we mentioned last week on Tuesday, they dropped a new episode of the Living Season 4 of Guild Wars since the release of the newest expansion. So each 2 months or so, they're releasing a new map and an episode to go with the map to continue the campaign story expanding the map more and more. What's so great about this is every time you log in, there's a new section to explore, all new things, and it's all free. So all you have to do is log in when the episode is brand new, and you get it for free for the rest of the campaign. Even if you aren't at that part of the game yet, you get it for free. But if you log in after it's been released, you have to buy those episodes, essentially, to continue the story.
So if I pick up later,
yeah,
and when I go in, then I would have to buy to go back.
You buy the bundled episodes together. So, but if you're an active user now, you get them for free. So my son, who I log in for every day, has all the episodes just sitting waiting for him so he can explore the whole map, as I'm positive he will, or I will disown him. so this one was rather brutal. The beginning of each campaign before you can get to the new open map is a standalone episode that you have to play by yourself. And in this, we went to as I mentioned before, you go on this like secret co-ops mission into this group of Assurans that are called the Inquest. And they're sort of these evil technology magic geniuses that are known for doing nefarious experiments all over the world of Tyria. And they use dark magic essentially to accelerate their own gains and things. And so they've been found in the area, and they're using live test subjects for something, and we don't know why, right?
Not cool, bro.
Right? So we break in, hide inside it. We use a golem golems are giant mechanical robot things that are used magic to power, to sneak around and kind of explore the place. And is it really great?
Is this when you can't use the griffin?
There's no griffin in this very small section of the game. Yeah, because you really wouldn't. There would be no value in it anyway because it's a very small room and there wasn't a lot
indoors.
Of flying. Yeah,
you can't
exactly.
Fly a griffin inside. Well, it's like opening an umbrella.
Yeah,
inside.
They mulch everywhere. It's just a lot to it. Yeah, you don't want the mulching griffin. So once you get through the this portion
like
of
carded it, magic,
it was really interesting because after a while the game, you know, if you just press into the part of the game you like, it's just combat, right? And you just hit the same 12 keys. Maybe you change the order of what weapon you are to spice things up. But the gameplay was completely different. It was
green and north. You jump and press the circle button.
Exactly. This one, you're sneaking around. So funny. It was a little sly like. But then if you get caught, you have to make a choice on how to react. And there's a quick meter of like, do you fight this guy? Do you make up a lie? Or do you say this response to what they're saying? And then if you mess up a certain number of time, the suspicion level of the area gets raised. And so after a while, I didn't break it. But eventually I realized something like all hell would have broken loose and I would have had to fight my way through the mission. There was also a really cool puzzle that I didn't get to solve. Instead, it activated security, so I had to go through that.
Because you like alternate endings, do you have to go through and sneak through and then go back and like run through to break it to
no,
see what happens?
No, because these intro episodes to the maps are so brutal. They're so grueling at times for me. So after that, we go into, I mean, this took an hour. I thought I would do this little episode for 30 minutes before exploring the map. It took an hour by myself. Because after that, then we go into the map before it's just a closed version, a zone version of the map, and kind of explore this as a little character development with these young cubs and a council and things. And we're using the griffin to fly around. And then all hell breaks loose and the inquest in storms the beaches. And there are gatlings of things flying. We're running around and we have to figure out this mechanism for defeating this one kind of robot that then spits out a gem that we can then use to defuse everything. It was very complicated. And then this epic boss battle happens at the end, and it took forever to do, and it was very rewarding when it was done.
Was the boss a dragon, or does that spoil it?
No, the boss was, they're very rarely dragons. Those are like end of game kind of stuff.
Oh, my bad.
Because there's only six dragons in the universe.
I feel like you're always hunting one.
We were, yeah, because since the dragons have reawoken in the world of Guild Wars, everything's terrible. So we realize that they consume magic, but we also need the dragon. We've learned in later episodes that we need the dragons to exist because they create a balance within it. So there's this like what we're trying. It's a long story arc to figure out what is going to achieve balance within the universe if this one thing wants to consume it all, and destroying them makes it even worse. So like what do you use to fill in?
Does any of them ever say, I am the last one?
Not yet, but I'm sure we're getting there. So then after that, we finally got to explore and look around, and there's one of the mounts that you get is a jackal, and it has the ability to blink, like jump forward. In the earlier maps for this expansion, there are these spinning whirlpools just hanging in air of like magical sand. If you blink through them on your jackal, you end up somewhere else on the map. And they're usually like puzzles for trying to get to a hard to reach portion of it. And so that's been a lot of fun of like, ooh, where, if I take this portal, where is it going to take me to? Underground, up in the air? We don't know. And this, and then it'll take you to another one. They kind of wind through a network of like wormholes throughout the map. So in this map, you'll find these portals, and inevitably the two I found so far dump you in the middle of a bunch of enemies. The moment you show up, there's just guys attacking you, and you're like, you either have to react or run away and try to get back on. And you could be in the middle of, like a cavern, and there's no way out.
Can you immediately turn around and go back into the portal?
You can if you're fast enough. Here's the deal. If your mount gets too hurt, it goes away, and you're dropped without it. And if you're off a mount and in combat, you can't summon it. So meaning that if you're in a fight, you can't grab your mount and run away. You got to stick through the fight or run away on foot. So some of the times it's happened where I've gotten beat. I wasn't expecting an ambush on the other side of this wormhole, and then I've had to like fight my way and survive and hide and wait for everything to calm down and then bring my mount and then run back for the wormhole and get back out of there. So it's been a lot of fun. It's a good little expansion.
I don't know why, but this makes me think of, and before we get into the next subject,
yes.
Do we need to make and formulate a plan to go see Ready Player One?
I was going to discuss that with you as soon as we were done on the show. I think we talked about it. You work that morning.
I do. But now what happened is things have shifted because it comes out the 29th of March, right?
It comes out the 30th.
So the 30th, I have a field trip with the kids because my plan was I was going to play Super Dad and I was going to take the kids out of school and take them to go see it.
Oh, I love this plan.
But now that Jacob has a field trip and I'm chaperoning it,
what time is it over?
Take him out of a yurt museum.
Mm.
It gets done at 3 o'clock. Like it's the whole school day.
Let's talk.
All right.
I mean, how important is yurts?
Not really.
So,
they're old.
They're on YouTube. So last time we wanted to know how many, you got one in the backyard. How many of our listeners, or at least people on my Twitter, play just video games or just tabletop games or both? 81 people took the poll, but do you have any guess of how that broke down?
I would say these are people, like, what would be your guess of our listenership that answered that poll?
I'm going to say
people who just follow Kevin.
60%.
So that's enough to shift things around a little bit. I would say 60% say that they do both.
60% do both?
No, I'm going to just backpedal. 40% say they do both.
Mm-hmm.
Although it all has to add up to 100%, huh?
That usually.
This is a tough one. I'm going to say 60% play video games and 20% play both and 20% don't.
Oh, wow. So you're pretty close on one end. 58% say video games only.
Yeah.
41% said video games and tabletop games.
How does that add up?
Only 1% of people said, I only play tabletop games, which by my math means like one person said that they only play tabletop games.
And that's your brother.
Probably. No, he's a big time gamer. But through this, so I think it means that we have a market here where we could be talking about tabletop things. You know my love for board games.
Yes.
And I know you're no stranger to them. So we can start to explore that. But one of our fans, and forgive me for not remembering off the bat, introduced me to Hero Forge. Are you familiar?
Mm-hmm.
No. For those that are familiar, this will be very low-hanging fruit.
What happened to my brain was you said Hero Forge, and I went, I saw that movie. And then I went, no, he's talking about a game, not Big Hero 6, you dumbass. And so what that came out was,
Well, I warn you not to look at it because I absorbed a lot of time. In fact, I did not. No, don't do it.
I'm going to do
it. I did not prepare my Star Wars update for this segment because I played that instead.
Oh.
Well, and here's the deal. It's not a game. So it is to me.
Oh.
So. Such a roller coaster. So you log in once you establish your account, which is just syncing to your Facebook account, which you want to do because you want to be able to save what you do.
Oh, this is right up your alley.
It's amazing. You're able to use their 3D engine in real time to craft miniatures that they will make for you and send to you. And so they have a bunch of different templates, and anything you click, the moment you click on it, it renders on the character. So, and you can mix genres or do whatever. The idea is be for tabletop gamers, of course, that want to craft their own campaigns, tell their own stories with tabletop characters like Dungeons and Dragons and such. You're able to make a character specific to that. Like, I want him to hold this kind of sword and this kind of torch. I want him to be this race of people. I want him to look this tall, this short. You can change what the ground looks like, the texture.
Wow.
You can give them different weapons, and there is a whole bunch of weapons for them to hold. And then depending on what weapon it is, their stance may change a little. If they have like a fireball, they'll bring their hand out. If not, they may put it in a different position. There's some really awesome action poses. I was playing around with the three-point pose, you know, like the knees on the ground and the foot fist on the ground looking up in terror. I have a zombie character that I was designing like that. It's a lot of fun to play with the facial expressions. You can make them look cocky or confused or snarl or go, ah! And then all the things you would normally do with a character creation in a game, change their facial, the composition of their nose, their eyes, the size of their waist, their butt, everything. They call it booty.
Yeah.
And then you can mark it and put things. You can give them a mount.
Look at that. I just saw the mount. You got a sci-fi cycle, a Shetland pony, a horse, and then a war.
And then there's funny things. So they've got like a minstrel. If the guy needs to have a violin, he's got that beer cans. Somebody made their own Sly Cooper in there. With a little squiggly cane. There's a lot to do. There's
how did you find a Sly Cooper?
Somebody, that's how they entered on Twitter. They said, oh, I did this and I've got this character coming. So the base model, the cheapest thing you can get for $20, they'll send you a physical figure. If you're doing your own thing, they'll send you for $10, they'll send you a model, the actual 3D model that you can then use. Then if you wanted to, for whatever reason, you could go to makeyourownboardgame.com, boardgamemakers.com, and import that model that you spent $10 for, and you can make a whole mess of them using their system, and they'll send them to you for China for as little, like if you get a dozen, they're like $7 each. So if you needed like, I don't know, a bunch that you're going to give away at a party or something, that might be a way to do it on the cheap. And they work together. You know, they're just, because it's just a 3D model that they send.
So if I was going to play,
but they're not painted. They're just straight plastic.
So I have to have your brother paint them for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or you can get the bronze model for $100.
Now, would your brother respect me if I sent it to him to paint, but I took a thin slice of my own skin off with an X-Acto knife?
I think so long as you included the accompanying payment for his time, you could keep your skin.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like his lack of integrity, but that wouldn't be the last time or first time I purchased someone who was not integritous, but all right, I guess.
Have you ever been into models, through miniatures,
no,
any of that?
I went through a phase where I was into like the plastic model cars.
Sure.
And then RC cars was the closest I came, but never into like little figures or any of that stuff. There was when that starter thing with the football players.
Yeah.
15 minutes I was into that because I was into baseball or football cards.
Yeah.
I have somewhere around here. I have Emmett Smith's rookie card, a bunch of Cowboys rookie cards. And then I had Walter Payton's rookie that because I had money.
Yeah.
And so what the problem was is that my friends would go to the card shop, and what normal kids do is they look and they see something like a Walter Payton rookie card that was, I think, like $67.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'll never have that. And then I'd be like, I'll take that one.
Yes.
That. So
You were a grown-up before you were a grown-up. Like, that's exactly what you do in your 20s when you finally have money.
I felt like I was always playing big.
Yes.
Because I was 10 years old making about $400 or more a month.
With just nothing but disposable income.
No, I had a phone bill. That was it.
Yeah.
and that was $24 a month.
That's good.
And a donut bill that was probably $200 a month.
Pie chart. Yeah. It's like, as you can see, 12% of your income is going towards
phone. I wouldn't give to track my expenses the way I do now then. Oh, it would be so interesting to be able to look
50% of your income is going towards
donuts. Because I would make it rain with McDonald's with my friends.
We
would all ride our bikes, and I would buy everybody's McDonald's.
Because that was
the reason our parents would say that we couldn't go. So if, like, they would go, I'm not giving you money for McDonald's, whenever we would ask.
Yeah.
So when I had money, I'd be like, let's go. We'd just get on a bike and ride to McDonald's and then go. And
come and just fill up on greasy nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah. But you were probably hardcore into this with your brother.
No, my brother was way into it. I have nothing but respect for it. But and there is a part of me that is really resisting just ordering these things for no reason other than the fact that they can exist. What I see is a real sign of encouragement that, like, in 5 years, there's a very high possibility that I'll be able to design anything on some portal like this. They'll color it, which is a necessary ingredient, and it'll be less money, and it'll just show up my doorstep, and the world will be fit.
Because don't you think that the reason why it's only like $10 is because it's not colored,
it's plastic.
It into a 3D printer, right?
Yeah, and you know what's also great? Classic models, like if you do a miniature for something like Warhammer 40K, somebody sculpts that, like actually sits and sculpts it. Then they make a mold of that. Then they take that mold and they do injection molds. So then they fill that up, you know, just like any other cast. They fill that up with plastic and then peel them out. But as a result, there's imperfections. They're not terribly detailed. These, since you're dealing with a computer from top to bottom, if you read their website, they'll talk about the textures are very intricate. The level of detail is much higher than the injection mold. And they're like, you need to be aware when you're painting, there are tiny little spots on this thing that are difficult to get to. Because it's a 3D model, not a fluid congealing together into a certain form.
I'm scrolling through the handhelds to see how long it takes before I get to a lightsaber, and I'm almost done. And I've seen things like candy canes and beer steins.
There's just so many
I'm on
things.
Owls and beavers. And
there's definitely staffs that you could hold in one hand, and then you would paint it as a lifesaver.
There was like a blank.
Because it's paintable, you can pretty much do it.
Get a recorder. Like a simple wooden flute.
Yeah, because then there's minstrels and music. Yeah, if I could paint at that level, I'd already had it 2 years ago.
I feel like this would be what Kevin Miller would do in lieu of the stick figures on the back of the minivan window.
Yes.
Like you would make one of these for each of your family members, that would represent
the really
mantle
tempting.
Of the Miller
because
house.
My son and I love making board games. We're right now in development for 2018's board game of the year. We've been making a board game every year for the past two. This will be our third year, and I see this as like, oh, that would be a great way to make is there something I can do there with customizable characters? To drop $80 on four characters that only we can play with around the board that aren't painted is a little outside the reasonable price range, but it's there.
For $150 you can get a bobblehead made of yourself.
Ooh, finally.
Right? But I think the reason why it costs so much is that you literally take a picture of four sides of your head, and then you tell them what kind of clothes, like if you take a full body picture, they'll make it like
whatever
it is you're wearing.
See, the age we live in, where the customization, the creativity,
the future
is the king.
And it is all of ours, and it belongs to you, and it belongs to me, and it belongs to fate.
May the odds forever be in your favor. Live long and prosper.
Oh.
May the force be with you.
So, before we go.
Ryan keeps.
We have six left to get to 500.
Oh, we've only had one since the last update.
Yes. Back to you guys.
Okay. Well, I did want to mention the game that I've been playing this week is Ratchet & Clank, which you saw came out on the PlayStation Plus for the free game of the month.
I did not see that.
Was the game that came out a few years back that was released with the film.
My video game experience since the last time we saw each other has been my children telling me what they've done on my Assassin's Creed
game. That's very sad.
Yeah.
Well, you'll love it because I remember you and your son used to play the Ratchet & Clank games together. And there's some, I don't know those games super well, but there's a couple parts where I was like, oh, I saw Justin do this part in very low res version.
And my kid kind of lost interest after a while, and then it became what you and I would do in lieu of the podcast.
That's
we drink moonshine and play it.
We never finished.
I think we got through the second one.
Let's go drink some moonshine next week.
Buddy, yeah,
well, I'd be you should pop it in, give it a go when you're not doing anything.
I have it for PlayStation 3, but now
it's available on PlayStation Plus.
All three or just the first one?
The one that was accompanied with the movie that came out a few years back.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our show. Send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com. Don't forget to follow Kevin, twitch.tv/TheKevinMiller. If you could get six more people to do it, then Kevin will do playthroughs of Sly Cooper.
That's right.
Imagine that, watching Sly Cooper play through Sly Cooper.
You know, if I get 5,000 followers, I'll cosplay as Sly while I do it.
Can they see you?
I'll, if I got 5,000 followers, I'll get a green screen and drop me in.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. You'll do it up for real steel style?
I've seen something. I'm going to change that number. I'm going to make it 50,000 in order to cosplay it.
Here's what you do. I think you just do, you do 500 each game.
Yeah, that's you probably the range that it's going to be. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then from
see,
there,
that's why you're friends, because you knew that.
It'll exponentially increase.
That was the goal. No one's guessed that.
And then it'll keep, oh, really? I, did, yeah, I thought I ruined it, to be honest. Did, I was like, oh.
No, you did it. You did kind of ruin it by telling everybody.
I'm sorry. But. Hey, twitch.tv/TheKevinMiller. Also, take this moment to learn that Justin doesn't understand podcasts can be edited. And really, only 20-some-odd people could have heard this right now. But
the word will get out.
That's not how we play. We do it live. We do it live! That's our show. All of the social media handles are in the description of this show. Don't forget to spread the word. Tell other friends.
Make new friends and then tell them.
Oh, that would be the best. Yeah. And
lead with that. Hi, what's your name? You're pretty. Do you listen to podcasts?
Do you like the Gamerland podcast?
I'm sorry, I do. and making See, out commences.
That's how it happens.
Three steps to romance with the Gamerland podcast.
I'm having KevinMiller.com. It's just worship saying, okay, bye.